stand by. Good day, and welcome to the IBM Corporation TivoliTalk ROI Tool for Maximo Asset Management conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Cy Englert. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Doris. I appreciate that. Welcome, everyone, to the Worldwide Conference for the ROI Maximo tool that we're creating. I appreciate you taking the time for today's presentation. This is our second in a series of presentations, and we just recently decided that we're going to do a recorded demonstration of the actual tool usage this coming week. So we're going to have access to that available on the website for repeating what most of what Regan's going to show you today. So it'll be online training is basically what we're going to create. My name is Cy Englert. I am the program manager for Tivoli ROI DBA project office, and we handle all the pillars of Tivoli software and adding those products from Tivoli to the various templates, which I'll talk about later today. My cohort, and who's a friend from old Campbell days of early Tivoli, Regan Shieldstone, is the Tivoli Value Consultant that is going to be showing you the beta version of the ROI template for Maximo, and she'll be taking you through that a little bit later. But we have been working on this for several months, and we've had a lot of input from the field. And the fortunate part is the beta version has been in use by Regan and some of the other folks. And so we're pretty confident that we're going to be able to release this in the next few weeks. But I just want to stop, momentarily to thank the folks that have been key contributors to the development of this template. And those are Theo Winkelman, Sven Strasberg, Ted Ritter, Bill Liebler, Steve Cassio, and Russ Anderson. There's been a lot of hands in this, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but those are some of the key players, and I want to recognize those folks for helping us. I'm actually going to start now with the presentation, and there's only a few slides, so it won't take very long. Then I'll turn the call over to Regan. So on the slide number two are really what we're going to try to accomplish today. I would like to talk just briefly about why the IBM BBA tool is valuable in your sales processes, when to actually use the tool, and the process you would use when you're engaging a customer in an ROI analysis. Most important, probably more than anything, is that after today's call, and if you need some support and some help, where to go for that information. And last but not least, after you see the demo of creating a ROI analysis for the Maximo Asset Management product, you'll probably have enough information of what you need to do. So this is sort of like an enablement session. On slide three, Alinion has actually provided some information to us about where we believe that ROI analysis are being used. And this is a pretty high number, where 82% of any project or sales that we're involved in that's over $50,000 probably requires some sort of an internal business case. And whether you know it or not, the customers are probably developing that business case. And they have often either asked us for help, or when we've mentioned the fact that we've got a tool like this, has welcomed the input, because fundamentally they're not business case experts, and if at least my experience is they have oftentimes just a very rudimentary process for doing justifications of software purchases. And I think it's pretty obvious that most people know that most businesses today are really constrained on money, and they have CIOs in particular have to develop a methodology and a process for evaluating different projects, and ROI and net present value and some of the other metrics are actually used to compare projects to decide what they're going to invest in any particular year. On slide three, I think this is one of the most important slides for people in the field to understand. There was some conflict several years ago about terminology. And most of that was from the consultants versus the salespeople in their efforts to create a ROI business case for a customer. And out of that discussion came two terms that we're standardizing on across the software group. And the first one is this what we call an RVA, Rapid Value Analysis. It's really what the sales teams create for their customers. You'll see that the tool exploits a lot of defaults provided mostly by Alinium. And as a result of those defaults and pre-built benefits, you can create a ROI business case for a customer in as little as 1 or 2 weeks. We generally never charge for that since it's done by a sales team. And it's the reason it's so easy to use are these things called templates, which we'll talk about a little bit more. But they are just groups of predefined benefits for each one of the Tivoli products. Today we have them for automation, storage, and security, and they've been around for quite some time. The asset management template is one that will be brand new, which will make our list, we'll add one more template to the list. And we're also coming out with one other one around the same time frame, and it's primarily focused on the NetCool tools for service providers. So at the end of, I'm hoping, later than the end of November, we'll have a total of 5 templates available for Tivoli salespeople worldwide. The second type of ROI business case that the tool can be used for is something that we now refer to as a business value analysis. These are the things that we usually attribute to the industry teams or Tivoli services. They actually are often customized with specific benefits that are focused upon a particular customer and particular deal. So, for example, if we're trying to sell an ITIL process, that we would want to focus on particular savings that a single customer is going to achieve by moving to a Tivoli solution. Quite often when I get calls from the field and they're asking for people to fly in and do these interviews to create an ROI business case, that's really what they're referring to as a business value analysis. It certainly takes quite some time to create because of the interviews and the process that you would go through, and that's why it's often a fee service provided by the industry teams and Tivoli services. So what we're doing today and what we're going to talk about today is a template that enables the sales teams to directly do these rapid value analysis. It's probably valuable to point out that you can start with a rapid value analysis and then add custom benefits to it, but we're not going to get into that level of detail in the demo today. On slide 5 is really the process that the BVA tool generally is followed when engaging a customer. Generally, you can use the tool in various aspects of the sales cycle. You can certainly engage early on, get the customer's buy-in that ROI is going to be important in validating the value of the tool and to justify the price before we go to signing the actual contract. And so you can, the sooner that you use the tool, the better you are, because then you're not being surprised in the process. Then this whole ROI assessment process becomes quite easy and direct, because you're going to get somebody within the business to be your ROI sponsor who's going to coordinate getting the inputs into the tool. And then the tool actually creates a questionnaire that you can fill out, and it can be printed or within see the interview questions. Those actually have the defaults, but based upon some 4 or 5 initial questions about the customer's industry and size, you can generate ROI report that we actually call a concept ROI. Then you can take that report to the customer to validate the inputs and to review the assumptions that report is based upon. Then you can go back in an iterative process and sort of get more detailed information to be able to get a ROI that the customer not only believes but is relevant to their solution that you're proposing. I was mentioning the several ways that you could actually engage the ROI tool during the sales cycle. I think that, like I said earlier, the earlier that you use the tool, the better chances of success that the tool will actually provide value, certainly in closing the deal. So some sales reps will actually use that to actually create a buying vision, to say that we've already talked about perhaps a proposed solution, and if you other customers within the industry of your size would experience a certain ROI, that's a perfect use of creating a concept ROI and presenting it to a customer early on. In quite a few cases, I think one of the biggest values of actually using the ROI tool is to gain access to customer executives, particularly if you are stuck in a situation where you're doing a feature function comparison, and they always want to talk about how fast, you know, the bits are flying. You're really down to the technical sell, and you really need to elevate this sell to a higher location within the company. You start pulling out the ROI tool, and generally technicians don't want to have that sort of discussion, and therefore you might be able to access a C-level executive by bringing up these ROI metrics. I'm a technical guy from the field, and I believe that one of the best places to use the ROI tool is right after and during a proof of concept and proof of technology, because the customer's mind is in a situation and a place where they're actually thinking about your solution being put into production in their enterprise. And so if you're trying to validate the ROI, you're trying to validate some of the metrics that we're going to be proposing to them, that's the perfect time. This is the way you're doing it today. This is the way we're going to do it in the future. And obviously the difference is the benefit. So it's a great location to start validating some of the benefits that the ROI tool produces. Some sales reps also use this to accelerate the opportunity. As a matter of fact, quite frequently, it's a great way to convince the customer that waiting to buy our solution is only going to delay the actual return on investment that they're going to get. So clearly, buying a solution sooner rather than later makes a lot of sense. And I think that most times, I have found that quite often sales reps might wait till the very end of the deal, because that's when the customer is going to ask for help justifying the business solution. So it's much better to try to engage that earlier on than later. But certainly at the very end is where ROI business cases become particularly useful. On slide 7, I'm just about ready to turn it over to Regan, but on slide 7 is probably a very valuable slide if you can print out and keep with you. This tool is available to IBM salespeople as well as IBM business partners. And so we have this one link on Excel. It's a web page that I keep up to date, and it has a lot of different resources, including training videos. It's got sample ROI reports for various Tivoli tools, as well as a section called Getting Started in 5 Easy Steps, which takes someone that is completely unfamiliar with the tool to actually generating a concept ROI for their customers. So I think you'll find that link quite useful. If you lose this page and you want to find this page later on, if you go to the Extreme Leverage homepage and type in BVA and Tivoli, I'll be the top top page listed in that search results. I mentioned the access and training capability that's also in that section on the page. Partners can certainly send a email to the ROID that I monitor called ROI@us.ibm.com. The registration for IBM is basically automatic and self-registration, but partners need to get their ID from me, and that's a very easy way to get it, is just send me an email to that ID, and I will give them their user ID and password. And, of course, in the future, if you need some support, in creating a larger ROI for an ELA or something of that type, I also welcome you to contact me or Regan, at least in the Americas, for support. We do have on that website a list of contacts, which we call subject matter experts or value, Tivoli value consultants that are available worldwide to help you in creating these ROI business cases. Excuse me for a second. And so with that, I will turn the, I guess I should first of all ask if there's any questions from the participants before I turn the call over to Regan.
Thank you, Mr. Englert. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1, and we'll pause for a moment. And that is star 1 to ask a question. And Mr. Englert, it appears we have no questions at this time.
Wonderful. Then, Regan, would you like to take these folks through a sample business case creation?
All right. Let's see. I did the start presenting. Are you all seeing a screen with the ROI analyst tool with 5 tabs at the top?
Not yet.
Let's see. Oh, screen sharing. What I need to do.
It's changing, Regan, so you must have hit something that works.
All right. And what I'm going to do is step you through actually using the tool. And this would be the same type of process that you would go through if you were doing this for a customer. Is it showing the tool yet, Cy?
No, I have a blank screen.
There we go. Okay. Did
now
I
what
get
we're,
it now?
Yes, you did.
Okay, great. When you first entered the tool, and I will say we've got a new version coming out in just a couple of weeks, so some of the very first initial screens are going to change somewhat, so I have skipped those because they're not what you're going to see anyway. Essentially, once you come in and say that you want to create an analysis and you give it a name, you're going to end up in a screen that looks like this, where you have 5 tabs at the top. The first one is where we actually select the solution that you're going to be proposing to the customer, and it will actually be a subset of this list when we go into production. There's a few of these that we're not going to implement right away because we also have those available on a different template. So if, for example, you want to be doing a TATM analysis, you can find that on the Tivoli automation template. So the list won't be quite as long as it is here, but definitely Maximo Asset Manager will be on the list. So you can select one or more products, and when you do this, it's got the intelligence to know what are the types of questions that it should be asking you for that specific product. So you select the product and then go to the questionnaire. And the questionnaire has different sections that are either expanded or collapsed. If it is expanded, it means that there's questions in that section that apply to the product that you selected. If the section is collapsed, and you'll see down here, there's a whole bunch of sections that are collapsed. It means that those questions are not applicable to the product that you selected, so you don't need to worry about expanding those. They're collapsed for a reason. For the most part, once this goes into production, if you don't know a whole lot about the company at this particular point in time, we will have things driven by default. And the primary drivers of the default are what industry the customer is in, And then what is the annual revenue for the customer? And in this case, I just pulled a number out of the air and said this is a $1 billion company. You do need to be aware in the labels that tells you what units you're in. I had somebody that was working on an analysis that called me and said that the numbers he was getting were absolutely ridiculous and that the tool was completely broken and out of whack. When I took a look at what he was doing, he was typing in $10 million for a $10 million company, but the field was in millions. So he was ending up with, what, a $100 billion company or something like that, which definitely skewed the results. So you need to be aware and read the labels. Once you put in the revenue and or the number of employees in the company, it will drive defaults for essentially everything else. And this gives you that ability to do an analysis very early in the sales cycle that you can use with the customer to build their interest and say, you know, just from standard industry defaults and some basic information, this is the type of benefits that other companies have achieved when they have implemented Maximo Asset Manager. As you go through the sales process and you find out more specific information about the customer, then you can refine the analysis some and get the numbers to more exactly match their environment. When you make a change in the tool, you'll see that the field goes from being a yellow, and let's say we've got a 5% growth rate here, it changes to green. And so that shows you that a change has been made to that field. In addition, it's a very good idea to document changes as to who it was that gave you some specific information or what were the assumptions that were being made, what was the basis for it. So you'll see there's a little I button right next to each field. And if you click on that, you'll see that it shows you, gives you a note section. And by default, the note just explains, gives a description of what that field is. And you can add anything into this note. You can delete the defaults. You can do anything that you want in this section. There's also an audit log for each field. So if you can see who made a change at what time. And if you want to go back to an earlier setting for that field, you can just click on the radio button, and then it will revert back to that value for the field. It's going to take, and there we go. It's going to refresh the screen, and now it's back to zero, the initial value. For Asset Manager, there's about four key sections that we're looking at. And the first section is the current enterprise asset management, and this is collecting various specifics about their annual spend, the spend for capital assets, for the maintenance inventory assets, what is their, how much of strategic sourcing are they doing each year, what's their growth rate, those types of things, write down, shrinkage and theft, those types of metrics. The second section is related to labor, and we've divided labor into maintenance, asset operations and administrations, and supervisory labor. The next section is related to service levels and the availability of assets. So how often is equipment down in the environment, and what's the impact of that, those outages. And then the fourth and final section is related to compliance management risks and costs. So in some cases, this might be government or other regulatory requirements, and there might be penalties associated with violating those. So this is an area to be able to capture that type of information. Even where there's not necessarily penalties, there's frequently a lot of man hours that are spent trying to gather the information required for compliance checks or audits. So that's a high-level view of the questionnaire. Are there any questions related to the questionnaire before we start looking at the benefits that are then generated from the responses here?
And once again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, and we'll pause for a moment. And we'll take our first question from Russ Anderton from IBM.
Hi, Russ.
Hey, just a quick one. I think I missed this earlier. I think you covered it. But is this interface set up so that the customer can answer these questions directly?
No. The customer cannot have access to the tool itself.
Okay. And then
what you can do is you can generate a Word document from the questionnaire and take that to them. You can, if you want, you can take your laptop out to the customer site and sit down with him with the tool running and enter it in directly, but there's not a way for the customer specifically to have access to the questionnaire online.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah, now, and I will show you how to get the questionnaire printed off. Up at the top, there's a print a report option. And if you select that and then select generic in the tree structure, once it comes up here, you'll see that you can generate a questionnaire either with the notes or without the notes, either one. And that then will create a Word document that has all of the values that are currently set in the tool. So you can put in the size of the company, the industry, and let it drive the defaults so that they see what is in there by default, and then they can make any changes. So that's one way to get something to give to them quickly and easily. I also have created some somewhat tailored questionnaires over time as well, and you can contact me if you're in a situation and want to see those.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
You bet.
Our next question comes from Ali Rowe with IBM.
Hi, Ali.
And caller, your line is open. Please go ahead.
You might be on mute, Ali. We can't hear anything. Maybe he got his question answered.
And there are no further questions at this time.
Okay, great. Thank you. So then the next step in the process is, based on the values that you entered in the questionnaire, it's going to generate a list of potential benefits that we would typically expect to see at a customer. And for Maximo Asset Manager, it's a fairly lengthy list. One of the first things that I suggest that you do is that you scan through it and see if there are ones that you know do not apply in the environment that you're working in with this customer. Ideally, I like to end up with a list of maybe 6 to 10 benefits at the most, because if you start taking a list with, 15, 20 benefits out to a customer, their eyes glaze over and you lose them before you even start. So you want to really focus in on the highest impact ones in their environment. For this product, though, there's so much variability in how customers use it that we wanted to give you all of the potential benefits and then let you select which ones you want to use. Making that selection is very easy because all you have to do is remove the check mark in front of the benefit, and then it takes that benefit out of the analysis, and the customer won't ever even see it anywhere in any of the reports. The general, for each of the benefits, you can click on the benefit name itself, and it will pop up with a screen that then shows you the detail behind that benefit. And one of the things that I found that customers really like about this tool is that everything is visible to them. There's no smoke and mirrors crunching out numbers, so they can see exactly how things are calculated, what the input is, and what the assumptions are. Then the next thing is that essentially anything that's in the tool can be changed and tailored to match their environment. And from some of the other vendor ROI tools that I've seen, they don't always have that capability. So in this case, and this is a simple benefit, but the format is fairly standard of what you'll see in most of the benefits. The first column is a label column, essentially. The second column, the as-is column, is all of the information about their current environment, and that would be used to calculate the cost that they would currently be incurring for whatever is being presented. In this case, we're saying that they have an average annual value of their capacity is $50 million, and that comes from the questionnaire. Our assumption, which is based on some industry standards, is that they can reclaim 5% of that, that an estimated 5% of capacity is lost each year due to poor management practices. So then the final column, the 2B column, shows what we would expect that to be after the solution had been implemented. So in this case, they would be recovering about $2.5 million. Then we have the year-to-year growth table, which lets you specify how much any factoring of that $2.5 million from year to year. Let me take a look at one of the labor benefits so you can see how labor benefits are calculated. And if you remember, there was a section in the questionnaire asking about how many FTEs do you have in different areas. And this particular one is for the maintenance FTEs. So in our as-is environment, from the questionnaire, we're assuming that we have 25 FTEs. And then this next field is calculated because we also on the questionnaire said how many hours are there that an employee typically works per year. So it takes 25 times that field to get 47,000 total hours per year. At a burden salary rate of $25 for a total cost of the maintenance staff, in this case, of about $1.1 million. Our assumption is that we can reduce that by 16%. Now, maybe in this particular customer environment, they're really doing a very good job already of managing the time of their maintenance staff. So maybe they don't think they're really going to get 16% and want to be a bit more conservative. So we can always overwrite essentially anything that's in one of those yellow buff-colored fields with a different value if we so choose. So if we take a 10% change in that, we're now down to 22.5 FTEs for a total cost of just a little over $1 million or a savings of $117,000 per year. So the input numbers change depending on what type of staff, but this is the same general process that we go through. Once again, you'll see the little I button out here. So if you make a change, once again, you can document exactly what it is that you changed and why. And there's also this little book icon, which you'll find on every single benefits detail worksheet. And what that's going to pop up is a table that shows you every product that impacts this specific benefit. And you'll see we're in beta version. It hasn't been completely populated. When we're in production, there will be some text in this middle column here to say what is it about the product that provides that specific benefit. And then by default, what is our assumption on the percentage improvement in that area? And in this case, source will probably pretty much always be a Linian. In some cases, we've had IDC go back in and do some validation of the tool and give their blessing to the numbers that we were using. And in those cases, you'll see IDC here. And in some cases, IBM was the one that provided the value based on our customer experiences. And in that case, you would see IBM here. And then an indicator of whether this product was included in the analysis or not. So that can be very, very handy as you're if you get to something and go, gee, I'm not quite sure where exactly that benefit's coming from. The other thing that you can do is this text that's up at the top is editable. So you can go into the Details tab, and you can modify that with any information that you want. And when you print the report out, that text is at the beginning of the benefit section for that specific benefit. So it's very, very visible. So that's anything that you have that's important that you really want the customer to know about this particular benefit, you would put here in this description area. It also gives you the ability to change the heading and some of the other things to be able to tailor it just a little bit more if you want. Obviously, we don't have time to go through all of the benefits here right now, but do you have any questions in general on benefits, or is there any specific benefit that you would like to take a look at before we move on to the investment section?
And once again, as a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. And it appears there are no questions at this time.
Okay, great. The next step in order to do the financial analysis, and even before I go here, I will say that there are times, especially very early in the sales cycle, where you might not know the cost information right up front. Or for a variety of sales reasons, you might not want to bring cost into the discussion. So one thing I've done many times is generate a benefit-only analysis. Now, if I've just got benefits with no costs, I can't calculate the financial metrics, but you can end up with a document that says, hey, for this product set for a company of your size, here are the typical benefits, and let's talk about the ones that might be applicable to your environment. So you don't have to go into the investment piece. Just be aware if you don't put in some of the cost information, your ROI and other financial metrics are essentially going to be zero. In this case, I've already gone on and pre-populated. By default, everything here will be zero. We do not provide any default information on cost. The primary one is the licensing and maintenance costs. And just like we did on the benefits, if you click on the line item, you'll see the specifics and you can do your data entry of the cost. By default, once you put the cost in the initial field, it will calculate a 20% maintenance for the subsequent years. You might have noticed all of the detailed tables show 5 years. In the actual financial analysis, you can select either 3, 4, or 5 years for the financial metrics. A question I get frequently is, what's the difference between initial and year one? Initial is all the money that has to be paid up front. So typically your licensing costs would be an initial cost. Year one is expenses that might be spread throughout the year. So professional services is typically put in as a year one expense since it's a pay-as-you-go. And what that primarily affects is cash flow as we do the financial analysis. It'll affect anything that is related to the time value or sequencing of the money. We encourage you to be as comprehensive as possible when you're putting in the cost, because that really helps build credibility with the customers. If you so we have, in this case, the software licensing, also whatever hardware is going to be required to run the system. And then if there are some additional costs, such as network and communication costs or software other than the Tivoli software that's being proposed, maybe operating system, database, that type of thing. You can add that information in. Professional services, whether that's from IBM or from a business partner. And then The next two are related to the customer's internal labor requirements, both for an ongoing basis to support and maintain the solution, as well as the initial internal implementation labor that they might expect to incur. For asset manager, there might also be some labor required from the business units other than the IT, in addition to the IT labor. Displacement costs, I very seldom use that, but every now and then there's a situation where the customer maybe already has a system implemented and they're going to incur some costs in either removing that system, or maybe there's some penalties associated with early cancellation of a lease or things along that line. And then training costs. If you have costs that are not included here that you want to add, there's this little icon in the upper left-hand corner that lets you add a cost. So you can give it a name, a description. You can tell it whether it's an IT or a business unit cost, and then put in what is the expected expense for each year. Actually, on the benefits tab, I'll show you just a little bit about the power of the tool, because if you have areas that you expect benefits in that were not included by default that are specific to this customer, we also have the ability to add a benefit similar to what we did with the investment. But in this case, we've got several very powerful ways of doing it. Manual entry is similar to what I just showed you on the investment side, where it just is a single line item bullet that here's how much it is each year. Add from a library is something that over time we're probably going to be taking advantage of for asset manager to be able to add some industry-specific benefits that aren't used frequently enough to be used by everybody. They apply to a specific industry, but we want to have them available to you. So we don't have any of these right now, but what you are able to do is you specify, let's say, a business operating efficiency benefit that improves availability, and it's going to start, there aren't any there. Let me find one that works. It'll start showing you benefits that you can add that are pre-canned benefits that you can use and that will be added to your list of benefits here, and then you just fill in whatever information. As I say, we don't have any of these for EAM right now, but I expect that we will, and when we add these, we'll also provide documentation. So, for example, if you're in a utility industry, there would be a document that said, for utility industry, here are some benefits in the benefit library that you might consider adding. The third one that we have is something called Dynamic Benefit Builder, and this is an extremely powerful tool that I'm not going to go into in great depth right now, but just want you to know that it's there. You give it a name and a description, and then you go into the builder, and you can do very sophisticated calculations in here. So I'm going to just say I've got number of widgets. I've got 5,000 of those, and I'm going to increase that by 5%. And we have different categories. We can have a conservative case, a probable case, and an optimistic case. And then I'm going to put in that each widget is sold for $200. And now I'm going to go down to the formula, and I'm going to say it's A times B. And then evaluate it. And I can see that on this one I need to change it so it's the, there we go. And I can do very extensive formulas with any of the mathematical functions, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, to add that benefit. And now I'm going to save it, and we'll see how it shows up on the list. scroll down and find it. There it is. So there's the benefit that I just created. So you have a lot of power and flexibility, which is very important, especially for something like asset management, where there might be some very specific benefits to that customer using their terminology that you want to add, and we have that capability within the tool. So once you've gotten the benefits and the costs put in, then you can look at the ROI analysis, and in this we show the benefits expected for each year, as well as the cumulative benefits. So in this case, we've got just under $20 million cumulative benefits for the three-year analysis. The same thing for the cost, both year-to-year as well as cumulative, and then a cash flow for each year as well as a cumulative cash flow. So in this case, you can see that the break-even occurs between years one and two, and if you look down here, you'll see that actually the payback period is 14 months. The ROI is 134%. We also calculate something called a risk-adjusted ROI. And by default, this just is a way to take into consideration the time value of money, which a standard ROI does not do. So in this case, we're using a 14% discount rate. You'll sometimes encounter customers that also want to include an additional risk factor that's based on their prior experience of implementing projects of this size. And you can adjust that risk factor by clicking on the risk-adjusted discount rate. If they want to include more risk into the project, you would increase that rate. And if they wanted to reduce the risk, you would lower it. So you can see in this case there's a table with various metrics that you might, and we've added some risk in this one to say that they've got a problem with the skill level of the resources and the maturity of their current environments, and they wanted to, and it would have a moderate impact. So where our cost of capital discount rate was 9.5%, by adjusting this factor, we add in an additional 4.5% risk to get the total discount rate. I will say we don't very frequently go in and modify this table, but the ability is there, and I've had customers on occasion ask about it, so we do have the ability to respond to that. Once you have created all of this, you can go into the printer report, and you can either generate a Word document or a PowerPoint document. Both of them do have somewhat of a canned text appearance, so I highly recommend that you take some time to go in and clean it up and tailor it, add your specific comments to the executive summary, those types of things. But it gives you a very professional-looking end result that you can sit down and go through with the customer. Now, we're running a little bit short on time, so at this point I'd like to open it up for any further questions before I turn it over to Cy for closing comments.
And once again, as a final reminder, that is star one if you have a question. And we'll pause for a moment. Once again, that is star one. And it appears we have no further questions. At this time, I'll turn the call back over to Mr. Englert for any closing or additional remarks.
Thank you, Doris. I appreciate that. I would like to thank everybody for joining today. And just remind everyone in the field that this is a very collaborative process as we build these templates and improve them over time, and would welcome your comments and your suggestions. You can send those to roi@us.ibm.com. That's an easy one to remember. You can send them directly to me. Also would like to point out that although the template is in beta and we should be releasing it in the next couple weeks, Regan is certainly available to help people gain access to the tool if you've got some deals in fourth quarter that need attention and need an ROI business case. So with that, I will thank you once again, and good luck and good selling.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation and hope you have a great day.